Welcome to Federal Insights for July, sponsored by CyberArk on Federal News Network.
Mobile devices, users, and access. It's the cybersecurity question of the hour. The Homeland Security Agency has been busy getting out advice and capabilities to the other agencies. For the latest, Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday spoke to the Cyber Quality Service Management Office Chief at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Vincent Sridipan.
CIS is launching its mobile cybersecurity shared services as a part of its sort of initial launch, right? I can tell you that mobile is really always been a part of sort of the DNA we have here, notably in the areas of things like protective DNS, right? When you think about protective DNS for an endpoint would include a mobile device. So that is in existence. It's a part of the existing protective DNS effort within Cyber Quality Service Management Office, also known as QSMO. However, I guess with this blog post that just came out today, you'll see a byline from our Executive Assistant Director, Mr. Eric Goldstein for CISA Cybersecurity Division. We're announcing really our launch, right, to include things like mobile application security services, in this case, mobile app vetting. And we really care about both device and application vetting for mobile devices. And what you see here is it's government-developed mobile applications that we're looking to do, you know, security, policy, privacy evaluations on for government-developed mobile apps, and also applications that are on government GFE devices. Another area is that we're also listing is in what we call TVIP, Traveler Verified Information Protection. This is a project actually that came over from DHS Science and Technology. We partnered with them and brought it over here to CISA, and which we're partnering and piloting, looking at do we O&M this for device security? And what this tool is it's a device integrity checking tool. So think about you have a smartphone, you're going to travel overseas or to an embassy, hostile environment, whatnot, and you want to take your phone, you want to baseline that. When you go and come back, we do a differential and determine, you know, has there been any kind of changes in which it deviates off that baseline, right? So this is a GOT solution, of which, you know, a lot of these are centralized capabilities or central offerings for departments and agencies, for FSEB agencies, federal, civilian, executive branch agencies. So that's really it for mobile, of which we're really starting this initial launch of mobile cybersecurity shared services.
Got it. So you've got three pilots here, three big projects for mobile here under the QSMO. And for the first one that you mentioned, the protective DNS services, obviously that's become a lot more important after the pandemic and during the pandemic as employees started using mobile devices to browse and whatnot. Can you kind of talk about how that project specifically is coming together? I think you've got a contractor there who's working on it, and how you kind of see that progressing.
Yeah, so there's two parts of this. One is there is the primary, you know, designated protective DNS service from CyberQSMO. This is right now, and you can see a lot of what's out there today, and it's all public knowledge, right? So Cloudflare is the actual tool underneath the hood, providing that it's a commercial capability that meets the requirements. And what I'd say is it traditionally you're going to see your desktop and your server type of applications that are normal. But as we look at mobile devices, Android, iOS, you know, smartphones and tablets, you want to look at how is that going to work? You know, is it, does it integrate easily to your enterprise mobility management solutions or unified endpoint management solutions, right? And we have two R&D efforts with DHS S&T and CISA, in this case, different performers that are looking at these technologies and trying to determine, you know, how would this work? Does it scale? What's the bumps in the roads? And you'll find that, yes, the technology, the vendor solution providers are getting to that speed. And how do we provide this from CISA to the federal civilian executive branch agencies? And that's what we're actually looking at T&E capabilities now, right? Test and evaluation. So that's ongoing. It will support and align with our, as I mentioned, our protective DNS program within CISA and CyberQSMO. It really dovetails very neatly.
And is there a timeline that you see that progressing on for when, you know, something might get through that T&E and be available for agencies to start using?
So I defer to the Protective DNS team. And I'd say that for us in our group in service management, we do have that timeline. It will just follow the same timeline. If anything, our efforts with mobile may help accelerate that. But again, I defer to the larger team.
Got it. And so the second pilot I think you mentioned was the TVIP, the Traveler Verified Information Protection. And that was developed by the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. So I guess I'm wondering, how did you come around to finding that solution in concert with that laboratory? And how are you looking to roll that out to federal agencies, and especially those agencies who are sending employees into those potentially hostile environments like you mentioned?
Yeah, so what I'll note is that this definitely supports the international travel use case as an example, or protecting our VIPs. There are plenty of commercial tools. What we're looking at with this pilot and sort of how we came upon it is if, so you may be familiar with things like AutoBerry back in the day for BlackBerry devices. Similar functionality was actually developed by NSA. But in this case, when you look at it from an iOS and Android perspective, what departments and agencies are using, I can tell you we do have a TVIP user working group that meets monthly. It's really IC, law enforcement, a lot of agencies. That I'll note that it's a FOUO type of program and that it is specifically a GOTS solution. So you mentioned Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. They are the developer in this case, right? They develop that tool. And the reason why we look at this and you know, how is it important? What's the consideration for this pilot? Is that do we use a commercial tool, which maybe the, in this case, the adversary may have access to and may be able to reverse engineer, versus, you know, we keep this close hold and it has certain functionality and capabilities that law enforcement, IC, other DOD, FSEB agencies really want and need. And so for the most part, if anyone's interested, we do have the capability more isolated. So every enterprise runs their own solution, but we provide that software, the instructions, the training. And right now it's delivered on a USB thumb drive, right? It's a Linux-based operating system, which you can actually boot up and use to do the work. And we are moving to more of a 3.0 solution in beta coming up in early next fiscal year, which will be a desktop application, right? So this makes it easier. We're trying to make it the burden of use to be easier and more flexible. But a lot of this was done before. I don't want to say super secret squirrel type of mentality, but the idea is, you know, as we look at this, we want to try this out not only with the FSEB agencies, federal civilian executive branch agents, but potentially with state, local, tribal, territorial, right? There is a need for protection of the integrity of mobile devices. And so this is just a great opportunity.
Yeah. And on that, how are you kind of getting the message out and working with some of these agencies? Is it more of a pull for you, or are they actually coming to you and asking, do you have something available here?
Yeah, so I'll say, and I think I could say this, right, that there's 39 plus agencies already using it today. So it's definitely not a like pulling people, you know, build it and they will come. It's actually been around for 4 or 5 years, quite a bit of community behind it. Can't really name agencies or who's using it, but I'll note that it is a capability really that is for a unique use case. And note that, you know, this tool is not a forensic tool, right? So if you think about lowering the burden, think about when someone goes and they travel, they come back and, you know, do I need to wipe their device? Do I need to do forensics on their device? You think about how many that comes back and the staff you have back home. This is really taking that haystack and you're looking for a needle in a haystack and making the haystack smaller. Right. So if only when things detect, then I'll send it to forensics and then go figure out what happened, whether it's authorized or unauthorized changes. It's a very niche area of a mobile device security solutions that I would say. And it really just based on the needs of the community.
Vincent Stridipan, Cyber Quality Service Management Office Chief at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, speaking with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
As the global leader in privileged access management, a critical layer of IT security, CyberArk protects data, infrastructure, and assets across the enterprise, in the cloud, and throughout the DevOps pipeline. CyberArk delivers the industry's most complete solution, helping federal agencies meet today's challenging security and compliance requirements. And CyberArk is trusted by the world's leading organizations, including more than 50% of the Fortune 500, to protect against external attackers and malicious insiders. Visit CyberArk.com to learn more. That's C-Y-B-E-R-A-R-K.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Vincent Stridipan, Cyber Quality Service Management Office Chief at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. He was speaking with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday. They're talking about mobile security shared services.
Continuing to run down the list here, the pilot on mobile application vetting. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how you're seeing that unfurl in the timeline?
Yeah, so this is, this is near and dear to my heart. I'll tell you, if you look past work that we've done in the federal space as a whole, right, for NIST 800-163 mobile app vetting guidance, things like NIAP Protection Profile and National Information Assurance Partnership. And you think about, the vetting standards, right? Government developed apps and, has been a thing for as long as you can think about when mobile apps have been official in the marketplace, right? So whether you're using things like MyTSA or FEMA's FEMA app or whatever the app is, it doesn't have to be for DHS, but any federal government, there's always been those concerns of like, well, what are the standards that people are following? Are they securing their mobile apps? There's this huge dependency there. But in truth, there's no real requirement, right? So this capability, this offering is something we've seen the community ask for, right? And need, they not necessarily can afford it, right? And so what we look to do in this case is pilot more of a centralized capability, having this available for government developed mobile apps, right? To ensure the security, privacy, policy, all the above. And then eventually as people move to say an allow or deny list on mobile apps for say their enterprise, this is also something where, hey, you would want to scrutinize and determine, should I allow this app on my, commercially available mobile app into my device and my enterprise. And there's risk associated, but there's also, the benefit of doing, business operations. So for us, this is something, again, that has been sorely needed in this space. And CISA just happens to be a great opportunity in this case to be able to take this up. Notably, I will note, as this is a sort of a trial for us, that it is leveraging what's called a CIBR Phase 3, a Small Business Innovation Research Phase 3 project, of which it has been proven, tested out. It's been used at our in CISA's in our facility out at Idaho National Laboratory in certain scenarios. But think about, mobile application security, right? This is really what aims at this and what we're very excited to launch for us and FSEB agencies.
Right. Is that something that is kind of a gap even in the commercial market when it comes to mobile device security and how that's vetted just generally?
Yeah. So I'll say, following standards, whether it's something like the OWASP Top 10 or the NIAP Protection Profile version 1.3 or NIST guidance, right? All those are important. Whether people are actually doing them or not, I don't want to say one way or the other commercially versus within government. What I will note, and you see this all the time, right? So people sort of get numb to it where, your mobile application had hard-coded credentials that gave access to their MySQL database on the back end, or just bad coding practices that and things can occur. So, the key thing here is that we want security, but we want standards-based security that you can prove and have evidence to back up whatever claims. It's not just red, yellow, green, whether it's good or bad. You actually have to justify it. So I do think, that the financial sector does a good job in this area, but some of the others, definitely there's always room for improvement. This is always an area, I think, of growth and continues to be.
And this specific pilot, this will launch in fiscal year 2022 with some early adopter agencies, right?
Yes. We've already had some early discussions with early adopters, and notably like DHS and others will definitely use that in the entire enterprise is our intent. I will say that this is a crawl, walk, run mentality, right? So trying this out with early adopters, it is cloud-based, looking to get an agency ATO as a part of our process, but very much so it's a capability sorely needed and hopefully the first step in this direction.
Got it. That's interesting. So with all of these kind of being a little bit different and in different stages of development and use, I don't know if you can talk about, should agencies expect to get these for free? Is it a fee for service? How does that work?
Yeah, so as of right now, and you'll see this with Protective DNS too, right? This is provided through appropriations, right? And so we're chartered to do such things in the Protective DNS stage. So mobile just comes with it naturally as a part of any endpoint. In the cases of mobile app vetting or TVIP for mobile device security, looking at the integrity, those right now are centrally funded and provided through QSMO central funding, part of CISA, and think of it more of a cybersecurity shared service, right? And so hopefully an area that I think will expand with Cyber QSMO and other aspects of CISA. That is the intent, with things like this, it makes sense to centrally fund them. So for agencies and agencies interested to join, you can find this on our site too. You would find more details by emailing qsmo@cisa.dhs.gov. So qsmo@cisa.dhs.gov. The determination on, do we fund this in perpetuity and appropriation Congress approves for us to do so, or is it a fee for service model? I think those are TBD, but as of right now, there is no cost. As I mentioned, it is a crawl, walk, run mentality. So it's a very much an IOC, FOC phased approach, of which, we want to ensure quality, we want to ensure adherence to standards, and we want to ensure that it is valuable to agencies, right? So that's a key piece. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay too. This is a part of our ability to pilot, and why we do it this way.
Right. Yes. Of course, the value is obviously one of the most important things. And so what are some of your metrics for success with these projects?
Yeah, so you're going to get the normal pieces of customer service metrics, usage metrics, but also I think you're going to get really good analytics, actually. It really depends on the capability and the sensitivities for the agency, right? So as an example, we have drafted and are working on even more so the terms and conditions, right? So in some cases, they'll do a memorandum of agreement with an agency on roles and responsibilities, or a terms and conditions, right? Where you use a capability, you understand that, hey, we're going to collect metrics on this, whether it's, how many scans did you do? How many, suspicious activities did you notably check off and maybe verify? Or it could be something as, well, how many mobile apps did you scan, to all the way of, well, how many did you scan that have a critical vulnerability, right? And those are pieces. Understand that, we're not prying into any agency's, data, but it's really about understanding and improving the security posture for federal civilian executive branch agencies, especially in the mobile arena, right? Mobile devices and applications that they would use. All this, I'll note, is aimed at protecting federal networks, right? Understand that mobile devices and the applications are really just the gateway in. This is sort of our approach in this aspect.
Yeah, on that point, the executive order on cybersecurity doesn't say mobile, but it does say endpoint. Do you kind of see this as central to that work?
Yeah, I'll note specifically Section 8 of the Cyber EO when it talks about logging requirements. Our team actually is the one working towards providing what are those requirements, right? When you think about different classes of technology, whether that's MDM, also known as UEM or EMM, but also things like mobile threat defense, right? So in areas where you're looking at what am I collecting, how long do I collect them for, how do I get that data? Those are honestly, if you think about it, those haven't been done in the mobile space. It's one thing about cloud and it's another thing about your traditional endpoints of desktops and servers. But in the mobile space, this is actually somewhat new to departments and agencies. And I think that's new to a lot of enterprise agencies, not just in federal government, but as a whole.
Vincent Sridipan, Cyber Quality Service Management Office Chief at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, speaking with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday. We'll return with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
As the global leader in privileged access management, a critical layer of IT security, CyberArk protects data, infrastructure, and assets across the enterprise, in the cloud, and throughout the DevOps pipeline. CyberArk delivers the industry's most complete solution, helping federal agencies meet today's challenging security and compliance requirements. And CyberArk is trusted by the world's leading organizations, including more than 50% of the Fortune 500, to protect against external attackers and malicious insiders. Visit CyberArk.com to learn more. That's CyberArk.com.
Welcome back to the third and final portion of our interview with Vincent Sridipan, Cyber Quality Service Management Office Chief at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, speaking with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday. Their topic is mobile security shared services.
How do you get federal agencies to kind of think of their endpoints in that way, think more about mobile and the current up-to-date way?
I think agencies are getting it, right? You hear the mobile first approach and a lot of things, and you know, 5G being a big piece of that as we move shifting from more wireline to wireless, right? And maybe that coexistence with Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi 6 type of technology, but 5G is a big piece there, opening up new applications. As for agencies, they are noticing it just based on asset count, right? And so if you think about, and the joke is, you know, people say, oh, well, you have more mobile devices than you do have toothbrushes. And I was just like, well, the truth is in even normal commercial market, smartphones have outpaced PCs, you know, laptop usage by a large margin today. So that's sort of gone with. And so if you look at how people are accessing information, trying to protect information, moving towards things like zero trust, then we are getting away from the endpoint more towards the identity, doing more distributed protections, but that will entail ensuring your endpoints, you know, your EDR, XDR type solutions to be in place, right? So it is an aspect, I believe, that agencies are looking at.
On these mobile offerings, you're starting out here with the three pilots under the QSMO. Are you looking to eventually expand that? Will you go beyond these initial pilots?
Yeah, I think that's to be determined for sure. It's going to not only be based off the results of these pilots, but also the needs of federal civilian executive branch agencies. I think that it really comes down to what is the need, right? How can we best secure and increase the security posture of federal civilian executive branch agencies protecting federal networks?
You know, a lot of these pilots are kind of focused on government-developed applications, government-furnished equipment. As bring your own device, has that entered the conversation at all yet?
Yeah, you'll see this in FISMA data as a whole, in total. And I actually co-chair on behalf of the department a group called the Federal Mobility Group. So we are conscientious about that. Personally, I do have definitely some concerns, mainly due to when it comes to things like spillage, right, and solid state media, according to policy Committee for National Security Systems. So CNSS P17 still states on things like that at the end of the life, you still got to crush the solid state media, right, if a spillage occurs. And guess what? In every mobile phone, that's solid state media. So when you do the bring your own device, there are risks associated. But I do think that area is still, whether you agree or disagree that BYOD should be allowed, I do have to admit that there is risk still involved, right? And so whether you're doing government developed mobile applications, it can be on your GFE or on your BYOD. It doesn't make a difference. We still care about the security of that. When it comes to the security or you know, device integrity of BYOD, I'll say that in our case, it is limited to certain models and capabilities of devices. So as an example, if it's an iOS device, then it's Apple, right? There's no, so you can't get away from that. On the Android side within government, it's primarily Samsung. We don't play favorites or anything of that nature, but note that we can only support so much. We can't support every one-off of a brand. And so when we build these baselines and our capabilities, we are building around what is primarily used in government today.
Yeah, I guess BYOD conversations should also include a bring your own sledgehammer conversation along with that. All right, Vincent, is there anything else that you wanted to mention on today's announcement or anything else around mobile security?
For departments and agencies, you know, if they're interested to learn more, right, you can visit us on our website, but you can also email us, I would say, at qsmo@cisa.dhs.gov. And again, really appreciate you and having us here today, being able to talk about our initiative. Thank you.
Vincent Sridipan, Cyber Quality Service Management Chief at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, speaking with Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for July, sponsored by CyberArk on Federal News Network.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network. Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.